A major decision from the Supreme Court today protects whistleblowers. A case at the Homeland Security Department involved the firing of an air marshal for blowing the whistle on the Transportation Security Administration after they canceled overnight missions during a hijacking alert. Matthew Tully is a founding partner at the law firm Tully Rinke and looking at the details of this case. Matt, thanks for coming on the program. As always, it's good to talk to you. What are the facts of this case that got us to where we are today? Thank you for coming on.
My pleasure. You had a federal air marshal who had information of a possible terrorist threat in the United States involving airliners back in 2003, and the Federal Air Marshal Service was undergoing a budget shortage, and they reduced some air marshals on certain flights, the exact same flights that there was intelligence could be the subject of a terrorist attack. And this federal air marshal made protected disclosures to the Inspector General's office and to members of Congress about the air marshals not being on the flights. The air marshal made those disclosures and subsequently was fired. The members of Congress were able to get the Department of Homeland Security to reinstitute air marshals on those flights. So ultimately, he probably prevented a terrorist activity, or he could have prevented a terrorist activity because of his disclosures to members of Congress who shamed the Department of Homeland Security into providing adequate protection to the American public.
He lost his job, and what recourse does he have for an event that happened over a decade ago?
Well, unfortunately, the civil service system is not very quick, and this case will go back to the Merit System Protection Board from the U.S. Supreme Court, where the MSPB will determine whether there was, in fact, a violation of the Whistleblower Protection Act. And if he wins that claim, he will get back pay and benefits from the date that he was improperly terminated.
You sent me a note with some very clear, positive, you call them, ramifications for federal employees based on this ruling. Let me ask you about each of these. The first one that you write about is, you said, employees now have a clear understanding of what constitutes a protected disclosure under the Whistleblower Protection Act. What was ambiguous about that before, and how does this case clear it up?
Well, the issue was there was a Department of Homeland Security regulation that pertained to law enforcement information, and the government's position was that that regulation had the force of law, and that because of that prohibition, that he could not disclose this law enforcement information to others outside of law enforcement. What the Supreme Court held is that an agency can't create a regulation that prevents whistleblowing, and that is the main ramification out of this case. If McLean had lost, that would have opened up a tidal wave for every government agency that has the ability to enact a regulation, that prevents their employees from disclosing the internal deliberations or communications of the agency to outsiders, which would undercut the Whistleblower Protection Act.
The second item that you write about is employees won't have to guess whether a disclosure is protected. Are you suggesting, it sounds like you are, that they will be able to use existing law or existing cases to see whether what's happening to them has a parallel?
Absolutely. The other interesting situation with McLean is the Homeland Security didn't rule that the information was law enforcement sensitive or SSI until several years after the actual disclosure. So it's an oddball in the case where at the time he made the disclosure, it wasn't any type of sensitive information or law enforcement information or national security information. That determination was made several years after the fact. So what this does is it allows federal employees to know if there's a law that says you can't disclose information, for example, national security information. You can't release secret or top secret or confidential information to a member of Congress via a phone call or via a letter. There's a mechanism to release security information, but not via a phone call or a letter. This clarifies that to make it so if you're in a law enforcement field or any other field, you can release information to members of Congress without fear of what a government regulation says.
The third item that you said makes this a positive development for federal employees is you write employees will be encouraged to blow the whistle on wrongdoing because they'll have clear notice as to whether their disclosures would be protected or not under the Whistleblower Protection Act. Is it fair for employees to assume that anytime they blow the whistle, they're going to be protected now? Or is it still wise for them to give themselves a second thought and figure out whether it's something that they really want to do?
Well, I'll tell you the practical information is they should really give themselves a second thought. Whistleblower is great on paper, but if you look at the number of cases where people have been victorious at the Merit System Protection Board, not very high. So people should always give it a second thought. But if it's important, like this information was important, it involved terrorist activity, it involved potential death to innocent civilians. If you're in one of those types of situations, you now have clear guidance that if the law allows you to disclose it to members of Congress and the Inspector General, you can, without fear of losing your job.
And I'm certainly not suggesting that somebody should say, oh, I'm not going to report this or I'm not going to blow the whistle because I'm afraid, because I don't imagine that's certainly not the intent of the Whistleblower Protection Act. But there, I imagine there are degrees of import about whether it's something that you want to go to the wall for. Because that's it. Regardless of what's happened in this case today, it still appears an employee will have to go to the wall in a case like this. Is that a fair read on my part?
That is absolutely a fair read, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with pointing out the fact that it's hard for whistleblowers to maintain their career in law enforcement. All you have to do is look at McClain. You know, he was not accused of gross misconduct or anything else. He was accused of leaking information that ultimately embarrassed his agency that could have protected American lives. That's what he did, and he was fired for it. Most people, you know, they have mortgages to pay, car payments. They can't do what McClain did. You know, McClain has put up a legal battle for over a decade now to prove, you know, to clear his name and prove that he was right. Kudos to him. I don't know of many people that in another type of fact pattern would do that type of battle.
The fourth item on your list is pretty self-explanatory. Agencies won't be able to bury their wasteful, fraudulent, abusive acts by marking all the information related to them as sensitive security information, SSI, that you mentioned earlier. The last item, though, kind of connects with what you just said, and that is agencies won't be able to punish whistleblowers while hiding behind the guise of protecting SSI. My fear, based on what we've covered so far in this conversation, Matt, is that to some degree, if they want to, they will be able to, because they can bank on the fact that at least some employees will not be able or willing to go to the wall because they have mortgages and because they have bills to pay and so on, and they don't want to take the chance.
Well, that's the current mentality of federal sector managers, is what fact pattern will present itself that will have somebody stand up. Clearly, this was a unique fact pattern involving potential death, potential terrorist activities. It was a couple of years after 9/11. You know, I think a lot of people would have done what McClain did. But if you change the fact pattern a little bit, what if we're talking about something that doesn't involve death, something that doesn't involve terrorism? I think a lot of federal agencies are banking on the fact that people realize that they'll be fired and it'll be 2, 3, 5, 10 years later before they get their job back. And that'll make people think twice before they blow the whistle.
I won't ask you to comment specifically on the results of this case because every case is unique. But you mentioned earlier in our conversation that the pattern, the trend, is not promising for folks who go through this and then go back to the MSPB. What usually happens in this case, or because each case is unique, is that not really a fair way to look at it?
No, I think it's fair to look at it. If you look at the statistics from the Merit System Protection Board, is not a high number of victories come out of the MSPB. Could be a whole multitude of reasons. The cases could settle that are victorious or have a lot of merit. Could be a million other reasons. But generally, it's not wise to blow the whistle for things that don't involve life or death or serious fraud, waste, and abuse. But those are individual calls that people have to make. And what we're doing at our firm is trying to push Congress to make the whistleblower protection statutes stronger. And the Office of Special Counsel is doing a great job with providing legal assistance to people that are the victims of whistleblower retaliation. But there's still a long way to go before people can feel safe in blowing the whistle.
How would you like to see those protections stronger, Matt?
Well, we'd like to make sure that there's punitive damages. One of the downsides right now is McClain only gets the compensation that he would have had if he wasn't fired. There should be punitive awards that minimize that agency's getting of having 10-plus years of this guy not around. So if the agency had to pay punitive awards, if individual supervisors that engage in this type of conduct had to pay a punitive award, that would be one way to not worry about whistleblower retaliation.
I understand the value of that in each individual case, but is there a fear that with a change to the statute like that, we begin to see a culture of, I might be afraid of my employee because he might sue me? Or are these cases isolated enough that you don't believe that will be a problem in the future?
I don't think that's a problem. And I think if you look at the private side, outside of federal government, that's a routine occurrence. And employers weigh the risks of a lawsuit, whether or not it's meritorious or not, in their employment decisions. The federal government doesn't have that type of weighing, and many managers don't have any skin in the game, so they're more inclined to engage in inappropriate conduct. And if there is an award, there's still a lot of hoops that the plaintiff has to go through to prove that there was punitive measures, such as malicious intent. So it's not necessarily easy for a plaintiff to win a whistleblower case. And if you had punitive damages and you have to show malicious intent of a supervisor or of the agency, that's an even higher burden that I think we're talking about maybe one a year, if that.